الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم معناه صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه الأطاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحني يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم صدق الله المولى العظيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى has been in existence since ever. The same Allah, one Allah, is today also there, and the same Allah will remain forever and ever. Allah تعالى created this dunya before the Jannah was created. Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام was in Jannah. Allah تبارك وتعالى in His broad plan sent Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام to dunya. Allah تعالى created dunya. First dunya was not in existence. Allah created it. And Jannah was not in existence. Allah created Jannah. And since Allah has created Jannah, Jannah will remain forever and ever. Dunya will come to an end. And Allah تبارك وتعالى, the ذات and the being of Allah تعالى is the greatest. Because Jannah also was created by Allah, is a creation of Allah Ta'ala. And Jannah, Allah grant us all inshallah with afiyat and salamati, without going through any hardships and trials and difficulties. That's from our side. We make our dua. Allah Ta'ala knows His system. That our dua is that Allah grant us with smooth sailing, afiyat, salamati, and He takes us into Jannah. So Jannah is an objective, but Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the actual objective. The greatest is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, who has been since ever, who remains forever. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is that being who created this whole dunya. Allahu Akbar. If we have to, Allah Ta'ala has put us in this world to find Allah Ta'ala. That is why we have come here. On one occasion, a talk similar of this nature was carrying on, and one of our dear friends was also there. So afterwards he told me that what you had explained, I tried to understand it on myself. Like for example, a child starts reading Quran Sharif, Nazra, Alif Ba Ta Fa, first just the huruf, just that, and then afterwards starts jot. And also a deep point of that, one great alim said that when a little child, it finishes its tahti, starts with Alif, Ba, Ta, Ta, and comes to Ya. Now I'm finished, it's happy. So I'm Ali. Now there's nothing more for me. But then the Ustad turns the Tahti around. And now Alif Zabar Ba, and Alif Zayi. All that the child, when he finishes that, I'm Ali, I've done everything. No, not yet. Now you start with Aida. And all the other, Nurani, Haida, whichever. You finish that, I'm finished. No. Then you start with Quran Sharif. From Alhamdulillah, you carry on till Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. Unfinished? No. Now you become half of the Quran.
You finish that?
No, not yet. Now you become a Ali, you learn the tafsir.
And for that you learn all the other sciences.
Grammar, Nahwa, Sarf, Balagha, all so much. Now I'm finished? No, not yet.
So anyway, I explained a person reads the Quran Sharif. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Al-Nuri Rahmatullah Ali used to say,
has got over 6,000 ayats, not these
6,500 ayats. And the meaning of ayat is direction,
a sign. Like if you want to go from here to Father Kwani, we follow the signs
or we follow the GPS, which is that shows us the road to Father Kwani.
We come out there, or we want to go to Faryan Afan, we follow those signs.
So when a person follows the signs of the ayat, all that from the word Alhamdulillah, Dalful A'udhu bi Rabbi Nas,
it is all pointed to Allah Tabarak.
And then, how many ayats Allah Ta'ala says, Inna fi dhalika la ayat.
In there is not one ayat, one sign, there are many, many signs in there.
For example, we send our driver somewhere to go and deliver goods, collect a parcel or whatever it might be. And we show him the route.
And we see he hasn't understood.
We tell him directions. He hasn't understood.
Now we write it down for him. He hasn't understood.
Now we give him a GPS on the phone, whatever, and we show him. And we see still he hasn't understood. After all, they just follow the rules. And now we tell, I'll keep in touch with you at the phone, I'll tell you how to go. And still he gets lost.
Now, that person, but this friend of mine, from my talk, what I said, but which I didn't realize, mashallah,
and Allah's system is such. When it comes in the hadith, Sharia, they pass the knowledge of being onto others. You might say something and somebody else benefits more greater than what you benefited also.
So he told me that we have studied and now we are teaching Quran Sharia. And we are teaching tafsir,
but we haven't reached Allah Ta'ala. We haven't found Allah Ta'ala.
So the objective is to find Allah Ta'ala, the Qudrat, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. That a person in his heart he realizes, وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهُمْ وَاحِدٌ. That your ilah,
ilah is your object of worship. Ilah, when you have a problem, to who you cringe and you go and you beg for help, who, that is your ilah. When you want support, your life support.
Today a person is in ICU, he has life support. Your life support for your life is none other but Allah.
Everything in every way, Allah is the one only. So we have to go and find Allah Ta'ala and build our connection with Allah Ta'ala. All this effort that is going on is to find Allah Ta'ala. We come in this world, Allah has created it and has sent us here to find Him.
When Allah, before we came in this world,
Allah Ta'ala had shown Himself to us in Alam al-Arwah.
When all our souls were there, our arwah were there.
And Allah Ta'ala asked us one question, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ.
Am I not your Rabb?
That is the one who creates you.
The same ilah, the one who nourishes you,
the one who sustains you.
And Allah is not in a need of a shop to sustain you.
Allah is not in need of a job to sustain you.
Allah is not in need of medicine to give you shifa.
And there was nothing. There were no hospitals there. There were no shops there. There were no jobs there. Nothing. And we knew it's Allah.
So we all admitted and we said,
Bala, undoubtedly Allah, you are our Rabb.
When we came in this world,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing
in the Quran Sharif he revealed,
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That Allah is not only our Rabb,
Allah is Rabbul Alameen,
the Rabb of the entire universe. Not only the universe, all the universes, whatever you can think of, besides Allah, the makhluk, whatever the creation of Allah Ta'ala is. And the creation of Allah Ta'ala is Allah.
We have to try and apply our minds a little bit.
For example, Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ. Allah is that being who created a thing like mort.
Allah.
Mort is not just that it happens a person dies. One Hakim was here recently, he says nobody dies of sickness. Death certificate will write cause of death,
we will write something.
But that is not the cause. Cause of death One Jamaat from Lusaka went to one country and they asked permanent address, don't ever do this. See, they wrote there, the Qabristan of Lusaka. And he passed away there, he was married there.
That's your permanent address where you go to Qabristan.
So anyway, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is that being who has created us. And we, Allah says, Alastu bi Rabbikum.
Am I not your Rabb? Am I not the one who created you, nourished you?
And that is the meaning of Ilah. Allah is that being who does and who is doing, and only limanil mulkul yawm, on the day of Qiyamah.
May Allah save us from the severities of the day of Qiyamah.
Lillahi wahidi qahhar. Allah Ta'ala, who is the only one, and who is qahhar, the overwhelming, the overpowerful, it is only Him. So Allah has put us in this world for a test, for a little while, that the lesson that we have taught you, Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Rabb? When we came in this world, now we have to now find Allah Ta'ala. Now we have to realize it. Now Allah has put in front of us. At the back it is only Allah Ta'ala. In front also Allah is the doer. But Allah has put in front of us the various things that there are. He put the shops there, He put the job there, He put the house there, He put the children there, everything. But who is the doer behind all this? And who is the only one that does?
Allah.
That is that yaqeen that is. And when we go in the qabr, the first question again that we will be asked, Marra. Who is your Rabb? So this is what we have to get. Allah reward. Hadith Fana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. In our times, otherwise from Adam Ali Salat was Salam.
All the Anbiya Alayhi Salat was Salam became.
And from the time of Hadrat Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
And we all know
generally what the history of Arabia was. What the conditions were.
Forget believing in one Allah.
What their general life. What an effort Hazrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did to bring those people who were the, what was the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu, every Sahaba radiallahu, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on one occasion to go and take a miswak from a tree, he's climbing the tree, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together with other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are present also. And then his legs are so thin that just naturally they get a smile. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are thinking that his legs are so thin. He is that Sahabi which he later history has proven that at the age of 94 he became a Shaheed in Jihad. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, outwardly the Munafiqeen, Allah Ta'ala says, if you see them, oh, strong, well built. But no value they have got whatsoever.
The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, on the other hand,
praying, outwardly weak, the whole night's ibadah. In the morning, just have a prayer. What their condition? But that iman, that is what, that connection with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has kept our success and failure not outside of us. We look for our success and failure in things, outside things. Whatever the things of this dunya are, we look in the various things and we all can think for ourselves where we are looking, where I will become successful, where if I don't do something I'll become a failure, what if I do I will become happy, what if I don't do I will become sad, what if I do I will become honorable, what if I don't do I will become humiliated. But all this is only in the hands of Allah. And the connection of that, Allah Ta'ala has not kept it outside of us, He kept it within us. Our success and failure is not outside, but it is within us. We have to connect with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. We have to find Allah Ta'ala and connect with Allah. This is the da'wah that we have to do. This is what we have to speak all the time. That it is only Allah and not material things, not things outside us. But it is within us that we have to connect ourselves with Allah Ta'ala. If we also think, just Allahu Akbar, how Allah Ta'ala has set a plan for us. A person becomes a Muslim. We are born, most of us, in Muslim homes, and we are Muslims. But a person who becomes consciously a Muslim. One is just that we become Muslims, that we are born in a Muslim home. Alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. If we pass away, no questions asked, we will be buried in a Muslim Qabristan. But when a person consciously realizes the oneness of Allah, That is really now we read La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and became Muslims. But when a person makes effort on that iman, and now he doesn't only read La ilaha illallah, but our second kalima, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Now you are giving evidence that there is nobody else. Ilahukum ilahun wahid. Your ilah, your ma'bud, your helper, your sustainer, your creator, the one from whom you have come, the one to whom you are going, is only that one. And now when you have realized this within yourself, it is more than what you have seen with your eyes. And now you are giving evidence on evidence. A person in court, if he has to give evidence, if he was not present there, they will disqualify him as a witness. Because he wasn't present, he didn't see. But now a person has worked on his iman to this level that he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. That only Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And a person goes through this in all aspects of his life. For example, if a person sees the qudrat of Allah ta'ala and Allah ta'ala, Allah, not to see Allah is impossible. And it's surprising if we don't see Allah ta'ala. Right from the birth, if everyone, most of us are married here, we have got children, we have seen our children, we also were small babies, we were in the wombs of our mothers, and at that time perhaps we didn't have shu'ur, understanding of what is happening, but today with our babies we see. For example, Allah Ta'ala says how Allah Ta'ala has created this human being. What is the great qudrat and power of Allah Ta'ala? يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah creates you in the wombs of your mothers. In the inside, the rahm, the womb, Allah Ta'ala creates you in the inside of your mothers. يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِنْ بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ. From one stage to another stage. Gradually how? From that one drop of sperm, then Allah Ta'ala makes it a little piece of meat. And then Allah Ta'ala may put some bones. Allah covers it with the skin. خَلْقًا مِنْ بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْتَدَارِ. In three layers of darkness. The darkness of the mother's body, the darkness of the womb, and the darkness of the embryonic sac in which the child is kept. Three Allah's factories working. And according to present day statistics, not one, two, if one baby somebody can make, it's a great, great achievement. But Allah alone, it's not the parents, Allah alone, 250,000 babies a day are being born. Yeah. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supplying 500,000 eyes a day, free of charge. Allah ta'ala is supplying 500,000 ears, free of charge, every day. And not only to the child whose mother or father is a gynecologist, he is a optometrist, or he is a specialist of the ears, ENT or something. No, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala supplies it right in the jungles, not villages. In the jungles of the world, Allah is supplying it there also. And everyone free of charge. And also Allah who has done. Look at the qudrat of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, and remember, we cannot exhaust, nobody can exhaust the qudrat. Allah is limitless. Who can exhaust, who can speak of the qudrat of Allah? Allah is the creator of the eye, and the vision is a separate creation of Allah. Otherwise, there are so many people who have got eyes, but they can't see. Vision is again a separate thing. And ask any optometrist how many years he has to study. And yet if a problem case comes, he says, no, I can't help him. Who is it that gives these eyes? All of us sitting with our eyes. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who created our legs. But we find many people have got legs, but they can't walk. Who is the one who gives you that power that you can walk also? Legs are also from Allah. The power to walk is also from Allah. Otherwise, may Allah protect us. You become lame. You can't do a thing. It is all in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. We have to come to know and realize the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. When a child is born, it is born without teeth. Because at that time, it's not going to eat food. And then it gets milk teeth at the beginning. At the beginning, when it starts eating, it's going to eat very, very soft things. Like, for example, in our circles, mild biscuits, the mother will put it in water or in milk, or bodio biscuits, they're very light. And now, afterwards, when the child is grown bigger, now the proper teeth come. Because now the child is going to eat roast also. The child is going to eat now Qurbani time. He's going to eat a lot of meat also.
So now Allah has put that deal. If we were the planners and the makers of this child,
then perhaps we would have thought that when the child is 1 year old, we will give the child a 1 millimeter tooth. The teeth will be 1 millimeter. When the child is 10 years old, 10 millimeters. 20 years old, 20 millimeters, 2 centimeters. And usually between 20 and 25, boys and girls normally get married. So if you went and see your bride-to-be, and she had a bottom teeth 2.5 centimeters, and the top tooth also 2.5 centimeters. And at that time, they usually smile also a little to one another. You will think, what did my parents, where did they put me? And getting married to a bulldozer or some earth-moving machine or something. And she will think that about you run out from this door, she'll run out from that door. Who is it? By his, whose qudrat is it? If he come to a certain level, and if we ate proper healthy food, and we did our dental care properly, they come to a certain level and they stop there for the whole time. They don't grow bigger. Whose qudrat is it? What is the power and wafi anfusikum? You want to see Allah, you want to find Allah for which Allah has sent us. This is, look in yourself. The greatest proof of the existence of Allah, the oneness of Allah, the qudrat and power of Allah is nobody else more greater than you yourself, how Allah has made you. Ask a cardiologist how the heart functions. Ask a pulmonologist how the lungs function. It's beyond us. We cannot, after all this knowledge that the people have got, scientific knowledge, medical, but nobody can go by or can say how great Allah Ta'ala is. Allah Ta'ala is just above everything. So Allah Ta'ala has made the teeth that come. And if the teeth have to carry on growing, and the old granny is 80 years old, and grandpa is 80, and now the teeth are 8 centimeters long. And the top, and the grandparents love their grandchildren and great-grandchildren even more. And for the grandchildren, they will say, oh, who is this? It's a wolf or something. They won't want to come near you. Whose qudrat is it that it just comes to them? No matter which line you see, this is what we have to find. We have to find Allah. And we have to know that Allah is watching me in my public life, in my private life. That Allah Ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. He knows what is in our hearts. وَمَا أَخْفَى. And what is more, hidden in the heart, also Allah Ta'ala knows. We know ourselves only to a certain level. Allah knows us better than what we know ourselves also. Allah knows that today you are sitting here, you are making bayan. Tomorrow what your condition? We don't know. Allah Ta'ala. And remember also, by Allah, nobody is indispensable. Allah Ta'ala, His work He will take from whom He wants to. We have to beg of Allah Ta'ala. We have to be humble in front of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala in ourselves, if we look around us in the world and we see the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, it is also a person, and this is when we go out, we meet with the man of Allah Ta'ala, we go in Jamal, and we keep on talking, Allah opens the eyes of the heart. And when the eyes of the heart are open, Allah shows everyone there, with his own eyes of the heart, the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. For example, this world of ours, we all know, is almost a round ball. Little bit oval, but moreover, it is round. And we know that it is rotating also, but at the top, the countries that are on top of the world, Northern Hemisphere countries, the people who are in those countries, their legs are at the bottom, heads are on top, they are walking around, their trains are moving, buses, cars are moving, it's quite understandable, it's quite in order. But the people at the bottom, right at the bottom, really it is, that the people are walking upside down. The legs are on top and the heads are at the bottom. The wheels of the cars are on top and the body of the car is at the bottom. But if we ever see it upside down like this ever, nowhere whatsoever. For Allah, remember, for us there are many things which are impossible. For Allah there is nothing impossible. Allah, for example, the pupil of the eye, every person's pupil of the eye is black. We say somebody has got brown eyes, green eyes, blue eyes, grey eyes. That means what is around the pupil. But the pupil itself, that is black. And Allah has kept vision in blackness. What is the qudrat of Allah? That means what is darkness, Allah has kept vision. So in the same way for Allah Ta'ala, there is nothing what is impossible. So these two, we who are in the south of the world, we are walking upside down. And, but we don't appear, nothing appears upside down to any one of us. This is how the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala is. Allah Ta'ala's great qudrat, the seas, water, and especially when there are storms, they come and they lash at the shores. High tide, with what force they come. Whose qudrat is it who is controlling them? That it just comes to the shore and it goes back again. They did not stop there. Or it should just carry on. What should happen to the whole of mankind? The water, what is nature in this glass? If I have to turn it upside down, perhaps not a drop will remain in this glass. So water that is coming from the top, it's the nature of what it is, it would run and carry on all the time. But whose qudrat and power, it comes to the shore, like a tail with its, a dog with its tail between its legs, it goes back at it. Otherwise, the water will just run and the whole world will be underwater. And water is 70% of the world is water. Roughly about 30% is land. This water will have washed away all the land. But whose qudrat it is that it comes to that certain point and it goes back again. This is the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. We have to find Allah. And then to get the, and Allah to find Allah, Allah hasn't kept that capacity out of you. It is within you. And to show us that path, Allah sent His, the Honorable Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, and He said, Hazrat Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who took out mankind from complete darkness, who did not know the Creator, who did not know what married life is, who did not know the value of it, his little daughter born in the family, a little girl, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with tears in his eyes explained that how he buried his own daughter in the days of before Islam. And who taught us this? Sayyiduna Muhammadur Rasulullah. When we know the qudrat and the power of Allah, now how to galvanize that qudrat and power is the tariqah of Muhammadur Rasulullah. Just imagine, just one little example I will give. A truck driver was driving. He came to a filling station where he was going to fill up petrol, restaurants, eat also. And which is common with the drivers, they repel the tire of the truck. Whether it's too hot or not, I mustn't have a tire burst or something. So he fell the tires, he went in and he sat down and he ate. As he ate, he dropped down dead. When we did an autopsy or post-mortem or whatever, what was the cause of death? He had driven over a poisonous snake, the poison of which was on the tire. And when he burst the tire, the poison came on his hand. And he ate with that. And the poisonous, very poisonous snake, and he dropped down dead. And Allahu Akbar. We are taught by our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before eating, wash your hands. Allahu Akbar. We cannot imagine. This is one sunnah. If we bring, make an effort, we realize the qudrat and the power and the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. Allah alone is the doer of everything, not me. A person who feels I am the doer is like a paralyzed person who tells another paralyzed person, you jump on my back and I will take you across this very busy freeway. He's paralyzed himself. How can he take someone? We are all, we got no power to lift one finger, an eyelid, and to move your mouth. It is, everything is directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One human being, Allahu Akbar. Allah is controlling everything in this human being. And in one human being, billions of things. And 7 billion people, and then all the animals, all the birds, all the fish, the ants, the insects in the seas. Allah, how great is Allah! And Allah's great qudrat can be on your side if we get the tariqah of Muhammad Rasulullah. And this was what is the other word for Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. They submitted to that. They made that effort, and they totally gave up everything, and they only turned to Allah. If we also, and this will come as we will talk about Allah Ta'ala, the qudrat of Allah, we will repeat it, whether in gatherings, and then in quiet, we'll think about it, And we make the zikr, La ilaha illallah. And consciously, not just the words of it, but consciously that Allah, you alone are the doer. And not only that Allah is alone, Allah is not only the knower, Allah is not only the doer, we are totally in the control of it. If he wishes to, he can make any person blind at any time. If we have a spine problem and you become, you just grumble and you can't do a thing now, you can't lift a finger, everything is in the hand. So if we get that realization, we talk about it, we make dua about it, we go out in just every door, we are giving that dawah. Whoever we meet, we are giving that dawah. We think about it. We get up in the middle of the night and we beg of Allah Ta'ala. And this reality comes within us. May Allah bless us with that. Then we get our connection with Allah. And that great power is with us now. That is what we call Sahaba radiallahu. That is we call the great men in the annals of history. We cannot imagine how great these people are. On one occasion, there are many instances similar to this, but I mentioned this one occasion. There was a lady in Baghdad, very, very beautiful, exceptionally beautiful. So, and when she made herself up with her cosmetics, everything, even more beautiful. So she told her husband one day that no man, if he has to just get a glimpse of me, that he'll be able to stay away from. And she asked her husband, I don't think even Junaid Baghdadi was a great wali of Allah Ta'ala. But the beauty I had got, which Allah has given me, he will also fall prey. So the husband said that we can test in how much of water is Junaid Baghdadi's unit. So she said, if you permit me, I will try. So the husband, what a stupid husband. He said, okay, I permit you, go. And she went with the excuse of asking a mas'ala, something about me. And she lifted her veil in front of him. One time he said, Allah! And her whole heart changed. Completely. When she went home on the musalla the whole night. By day, roza. By night, ibadah. Now, after some time, the husband said, what did I spoil of Junaid that he made my wife useless to me? Now she's not of any worth to me. So these are those men, when this comes into us. This is what we are. Allah, we are great jamaat, a big jamaat. If we are a small jamaat, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah used to say, I want just 313 people like that. If I get 313 people, wallah, we don't have to fear anything in the world. There is no power that can stand in front of such people. When Allah is on your side, and Allah's power is with you, and we have surrendered to Allah Ta'ala, there is no reason that you will just walk over the whole world. Hey, that was what the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes for the battle of Yarmouk, with his whole group of Sahaba, lot of Sahaba. The enemy comes with 60,000 people. And when the war is going to take place the next day, Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu chooses out 30 people, 30. And there is 6 and 40, 60,000 people. Is there any relationship? Is there anything that can anyone reconcile 30 people in front of 60,000 people? It's a walkover. But not when your person has got that iman and has got that connection with Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. When this happens, or the other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu enforce on Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu to take another 30 people. So, under their pressure, he takes another 30, they become 60. Now, 60 people against 60,000, what is the ratio? 1 to 1,000. Hey, can that ever work out? Can our minds work? But with Iman, it's a different thing.
Yes,
also remember that today we are taught seeing is believing, hearing is deceiving. The reality of it is opposite. Hearing is believing, the oneness of Allah. We don't see Allah Ta'ala. But Allah's existence, nobody can deny.
Yes,
how can anyone deny the existence of Allah? When the curtains are moving, we don't see the wind, but we say, close the windows. Why close the windows? The wind is causing the curtains, all your papers to fly around on your desk. What is causing it? The wind. Put off the fan. Close the windows. But you can't see the wind. But you know it is there. When that reality comes in my heart, in your heart, and it comes to us to whatever. But for that sacrifice is required. For that we have to be Allahu Akbar. When a person in which things our yaqeen is true, what we believe is doing for us, my medicine does for me. My comfortable bed and bedroom is giving me comfort. My wife is giving me comfort. My shop is giving me my food. The day we take out yaqeen from there and put that yaqeen in the Zaat of Allah, Allah alone is the doer. Allah will put all those things in our control. Allah will take out all the things from there and put it in our control, and then see Allahu Akbar, what is how great, what power will be with us. So Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu takes 60 people, for 60,000 people. When they come, now they are supposed to be having the war taking place. The enemy thinks these people have come to make peace. Because there is no question of 60 people fighting 60,000. They have come to make peace. So he said they understand, they're intelligent people, that they know 60 can't fight 60,000. When anyone says you could have come to make peace, Khalid ibn Walid draws his sword and he says we declare war. And 60,000, 60 people, 60 not people, 60 Sahaba, 60 people with that iman that Allah is there. Allah is loving, Allah is the doer, in Allah's hand is the control of everything. When that reality comes in, when that reality, he pulls his sword out and he says, I declare war. One day from morning to night, 60,000 people are routed by 60. And when after that, they count a number of Sahaba that have become shaheed. They found that a few were missing. So they realized these numbers have become shaheed. And this few are a small number, the enemy has captured them. So they had peace talks with them, to go and discuss with them to release the prisoners of war. And the enemy, when they had seen, now these are not ordinary people. What are farishtas? Allahu Akbar. The Sahaba al-Kiram surpassed the malaika. And the Sahaba and our elders who are in the footsteps of the malaika of the Sahaba, they surpassed the malaika also. Allah rewards the brothers who are making this effort continuously. And with my eyes, wallah, when you come here in the markaz, it's a complete environment of iman and yaqeen. It is an environment of nuraniyah. You see it on the people's faces, and this is growing, and it is growing. And the day is not far when people, ordinary people here, who not ordinary, we just use the word, they will control everything. That yaqeen has to come into our hearts. So anyway, when they go, they are invited. And they put a carpet for them to walk on. When they reach there, Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, remove this carpet from here. They say, but we have put it for your respect. He says, wal arda farashnaha. The Allah ta'ala says, we have put carpet on the earth. Allah's carpet, what is your carpet in front of Allah's carpet? So then, when now they start discussing, so he says that, we have come to discuss about your freeing the prisoners of war, the few that were there. So he says that you are so few. And Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, if you don't free them, I see the day with my eyes that you will be dragged by your neck, and then you will be dragged in front of Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. That non-Muslim in front of dunya. Now, Allah take out that wrong yaqeen from our hearts. That what we see in material things, we see everything. How could he comprehend and understand and accept this? He became furious and he told his people, grab hold of him. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu pulls out his sword. And he tells his friends who are there, just a few, that now we will meet at Kawthar. Then he realizes, because he had seen the power of Iman, not the power of people, the power of Iman, the power of contact with Allah, the power of Allah's doing. So then he said, no, I was just joking. So this is, if we can do that, and for that we have to come out of our comfortable zones. We have to come out of our things where we see Allah Ta'ala, wa anna al-masajid al-fitnah, fala tad'u ma'allahi ahada. The place to build this iman, Allah has made the masajid. This is the place that we have to come to. And when we gather in the masajid,
and we discuss the qudrat of Allah, and we make the ta'aleem of the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and we go and invite towards this, then these realities will start coming into us also. And the more they come, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, used to give this example. A person wants to, I'm not explaining a masala, it's just an example. He wants to tattoo a lion on his body, which is haram, it's not allowed. But it's just an example. So he goes to the person who makes a tattoo, who does the tattoo, and he breaks his needle. So he paints, so he jumps. What are you doing? I'm making the tail of the lion. So he says, it's too painful, you can't have a lion without a tail. So he said, okay, you'll have a lion without a tail. He pricks him again, and it's painful again, he jumps again. What are you doing? Making the ear of the lion. You can't have a lion with one ear only. So again it's painful. So that the next year, finally what is he going to have? No lion. Today, fajr is difficult for us. Mm-hmm. Eh? To go out in the path of Allah is difficult for us. To sacrifice for deen and to bring this reality, everything is difficult. Then what iman is going to be? And if we say that they put something there so that you don't feel the pain. So Allah has also given us something which if we bring, what do you call that, when they come, chloroform, something like that, they dump the pain. And now you don't feel any pain. So we have to work on our iman. And when we will work on iman, there will be no pain of being like a Muslim right in the midst of all the non-believers also. To call out the adhan and iman will be there, we won't have fear of anything. And that iman will protect us also. Just like when they want to work on your teeth, the doctor, the dentist gives you an injection, he dumps the place, now they pull out the tooth also, you don't feel. When that iman was in the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, were that people who had that iman. When a spear was in their body, they said, let me make namaz. And in that namaz, they didn't feel the pain. Hey, today, our namaz, Allah. Just to explain also our great elders, what condition they had. On one occasion, one of our great elders, he was performing his sunnah namazes at home. And that is the better form. But we make it in the masjid also, so nobody thinks that we're not reading sunnat also, but otherwise at home is better. And he was reading it very, we cannot imagine. The namaz of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala with what peace and contentment they gave them, they made namaz. Today we know what our namazes are, what kind of namazes we make, the namazes they used to make. And this really our elders, Allah reward them. Allah has given in front of our eyes an example of who the Sahaba were, an indication of who they were, all our great, great elders. So anyway, he's making his namaz, sunnat namazes. And he loved what call it flowers and these things also. So there were little creepers growing there. And from there a snake had come. And it was roughly about 30 centimeters from the head of this great buzzard. And the housewoman saw the snake there. So they screamed and they called somebody from outside to kill the snake. They went in parda, they killed the snake. A huge hue and cry. But he knew nothing what was happening. There are our namazes. Maybe we have to make effort on namaz. Namaz, the reality of namaz is to come into us. And for that also effort is required. Where our namazes are being destroyed and spoiled because of the business, etc. Because of this appointment and that appointment, the namaz won't be made there. It will, when we come out and we free ourselves, and we make this practice to make our namazes to take from the treasures of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah will grant us that, when we make the effort in that way. So anyway, he completed his namaz, and casually he started walking to the masjid to go and make his namaz with Jama'ah. Then we saw some leaves lying around from the creeper. And he became very angry. Who broke the creepers? Why the leaves are falling here? They said, may Allah have mercy on you. Don't you know there was a snake just above your head? He had no idea. And after knowing also, completely composed and calm.
Hey, the things of this dunya, I know it. To talk is easy. To listen is easy. May Allah give us reality. That our hearts has become like that. That we understand the qudrat and the oneness and the greatness of Allah. The power of Allah tabarik wa ta'ala. And we understand that the only route to reach Allah and find and take from the treasures of Allah is through the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And a great means. When these people, when they lifted their hands in front of Allah,
one time in the Markaz,
right at the beginning stages, there was a little child with eye problems. So one of the elders told an ordinary person in the Markaz, a non-Muslim, had come from England, an expert in eye treatment, etc. And usually, when a woman, it is more common that he's coming, little child has got eye problem, take the child for treatment, and this is an opportunity. But he said, till today, I never took anyone for treatment to a non-Muslim. This is not our level. This was their level. And he told that person, an ordinary person in the market, if the child's eyes are not right in the morning, you watch out what will happen to you. What he turned to Allah. And what he turned overnight, the child's eyes are right. This is to take from the treasures of Allah. And Allah has given us this Mishra. Allah has given us this alchemy. Allah Ta'ala has given us this prescription. The doctor gives you the best medicine, the best prescription, and you frame it up in a golden frame, and you say, I've got the best prescription in the world. We have got it in us. It is for us now to bring it within us, to make this little circle. And what a beautiful work Allah has given us, not to put us into the deep end of the pool at the one time, but slowly start with sitting for bayan. Start for kitab reading, go for a kashf of two, go for 24 hours, go for 72 hours, then go for 10 days, go for 40 days, go for 4 months, and then see slowly, and see how Allah opens the doors for us. And without us knowing how Allah Ta'ala opens, and then this connection with Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala is the great being who has created us, who has brought us in this world, and Allah Akbar. For what is all this? Because Allah wants to give us Jannah. Allah wants to save us from the tortures, horrors and of hell, fire. And we cannot even think about it. We haven't got the capacity to speak about it, to listen about it. And the pleasures of Jannah, Allah. And the greatest thing, khalidina fiha abada, where you will be forever and ever. So Allah Ta'ala is that great being that you will give us. And that is what Allah wants to give us. And that is why Allah has put us here. And that is what we have to work for. In this little time, Allah Akbar. One day of this, one lifespan, which is between 60 and 70 years. Otherwise, go to the Qubur, to the Qabristan, and you will find the dates which are written there. And most of the people who are there are under 50. If you are over 50, you are lucky you still alive. But if you go and see, most of the people, it doesn't like really strike us. But go and see, when we should go to the Qabristan regularly also and take a lesson from there. And as one friend has said it so beautifully, usually the date of birth is written, there's a dash and then the date of death. So what is our life? That small dash. That is all we are living. You came in the world yesterday and today you are gone. Not even today and yesterday. And the most uncertain thing in the world is life. How many people suddenly they are just gone. And you can't accept it. How many times the husband is sickly. And then the wife passes. You say, no, it's a mistake. It's a wrong report. It's the husband who has died. He was so sickly. No. It's the wife that has, who was healthy. There was nothing wrong. Many, many reports of this nature. On accidents, how many times the everyone fatalities. One little child without a scratch. And then who's going to bring that child up? One Allah. Many times when we are hurrying people, we wonder what's going to happen to the children. But finally, those very children, who is it that looks up? Who is Rabbul Alameen? None other but Allah Rabbul Izzat. One time the known Misri, Rahmatullah Alameen, was at the shore and he saw a strange incident happening. He saw that a scorpion came from the one side and a frog from the other side, just like somebody hires a taxi, phones and I need a taxi the taxi comes, and when it comes, you jump in, and you go with your taxi where you have to go.
So like that, the scorpion came from the woods, and the frog came from the water. As they came there, the scorpion jumped on top of the frog, and the frog swam across to the other side. Forest, what is this? I can't understand. When they come to the other side, just left actually asked for a taxi, and the taxi took you, now finish, you get off and you go to there, wherever you wanted to go. Now he's following that scorpion, and then he sees the scorpion coming to a place where there is a poisonous snake, ready to bite the prince, the son of the king. And the son of the king, who was drunk wine, foam coming out from his mouth, etc. For a person of that nature, the snake is about to bite him. The scorpion bites the snake and pulls out the poison from there. And then the snake falls down dead also. So, Zulnoon Mystery Rahmatullah Ali turns to Allah. Ya Allah, what is this what I'm seeing? Allah puts in his heart, oh Zulnoon Mystery, if we only protect the righteous and the pious, who will look after the sinners? Allah. Who is Rabbul Alameen? Allah is the one who sees to everyone. And if a person will do the work of deen, will Allah destroy that person? Possibly death might come. And if yaqeen is birth in the heart, those tests you pass. A student who has studied very hard, and test comes in front of him. But when he writes his paper, he's smiling and writing his paper. When he is guaranteed a distinction, and he knows he's good, if our iman was made of that level. So it is necessary that in this material world and this material environment that we are in, take out little time, this coming year of all the people from various places, the sacrifices, these are also great sacrifices. And increase these sacrifices. And we work towards finding Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, the Qudrat and the power of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, and we bring that, and that capacity is within us. It is not outside us. Allah has given every person that capacity. And today we must make lot of shukr that all the efforts of deen which are taking place, all complementing one another, and we have got this in this part of the world. There are certain places in the world where people, just now somebody was saying, he's just back from New Zealand, and Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali, he went to this one place, and many other places like this. He went to this place and he said, tomorrow is Jummah, where are you going to make Jummah? He says, Jummah? No Jummah yet. There aren't any people, there is no place. And then he made efforts and he got a little garage or a room or something, they got it ready. And Haji Bhai Padia, Allah give us these qualities. The night he was crying to Allah, oh Allah, establish Jummah here. Establish Jummah here. And finally, a masjid is there. So this is that connection with Allah. And in other countries, when Jamaats went, they said, oh, Friday, you should make Jummah on Sunday. Sunday is a popular holiday. Sunday we can make Jummah. Friday is busy. Everyone knows, no question about it. But Allahu Akbar, when little effort was made, what a change came. One place, the capital of Brazil is São Paulo, the other big city? Rio de Janeiro. We were there, and a Jamaat from Mozambique was there. The Amir of the Jamaat, Allah grant him Jannat, he also passed away. We explained he went to India for travel tour. He perhaps just got married or whatever it might be with his wife. He went to as a tour to go Nizamuddin also. He went in tour there also. And then everyone knows his job. Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, they knew their job. So when they met, and he saw he's from Mozambique and he knows Portuguese language. Then he spoke to Hazratji, and Hazratji asked for this man to come to him. He told, we've got a Jamaat ready of Arabs, but we haven't got somebody who speaks Portuguese. So he told Hazratji told him, if you are prepared, it's my request. He said, Hazratji, your request is a command for me. I've got no choice, I will comply. He's gone for a holiday. But he says, I'm ready. He says, just let me drop my wife in Gujarat and I come back and we will go. We went away to Brazil. And when they came to Rio de Janeiro, it was a Friday morning, beautiful masjid, all facilities there. The time for Jummah came. These are the conditions which we have got a responsibility to see to all this. When the time for Jummah came, they had made wudu, they were sitting, etc., waiting. And nobody there stopped.
Then we saw a person come to a room, opened the room, Azan went, he got happy, mashallah, Azan took place. After that he came out, locked the room and he started going away. I said, where are you going? He says that, I'm not a Muslim. I just came here to put the tape recorder on. I get paid for this. Eh? So I just have to come and put on this tape recorder when this little whole thing gets finished. Then I close up, lock up and I go away. So the Amir, who was an Arab, and Allah give us that jazba. And Arabs, really, what we cannot imagine today, what jazba they have got. It's just as our Buzurg said, Imala ki zarurat, izala ki ne. That what does that mean? Your kha has got power in it. You don't have to drop the power. You just have to get control of it. And today, the ummah has got power in it. What isn't the ummah doing? Just turn it in the right direction. Let it be used for the right things. So then, that is also this Arab, the Amir, he couldn't tolerate, he couldn't stomach this. He said, call that person again, he must make namaz. And he asked that translator, that why is he going away? He says, I'm also what you people, what I know what is here. I'm just translating, that is all. Afterwards, a few people came, sitting with their shoes, everything, on chairs. And now, there's only Musalli sitting, a few. And then, the who was supposed to be the Imam came. And he came also with suit and tie. And he was reading out from a book, the khutbah supposed to be. So, couldn't stomach it again. He went up to him and he took him off from there. And then he asked him, who, what are you doing? He says, I'm not a Muslim. I'm a priest, Anglican priest. And I just come here to read this. So then that Amir said, if this is the condition of this people, I don't think they even know how to make ghusl. I don't think they know how to make wudu also. So he told the Jamaat, teach them ghusl. He said, Isa, they will be naked. He said, they naked, they are naked. But they have to learn ghusl. They have to learn the basics of deen. And today, when I have carried on, what a change in the world.
Yes,
today, alhamdulillah, by efforts of many, many brothers from our country, the whole picture of South America is changing. And it's changing in such a way, not of South America, of the world. What is happening in the world, really, we don't have to worry about other things. We don't have to spoil our brains. We get into Quran and Hadith, into Ta'aleem, into... This is our news. We don't have to know of other news. The news of the Quran Sharif, the news of Ta'aleem, the Kitab reading, and build our Iman. When this will become strong, wallah, the conditions of the world
will change.
And they are changing. And they are changing rapidly. And we see a real bright, bright future for Islam and for the world at large. For the people who may not want to accept it also. But there is a bright, bright future for everyone. People are frightened of many other things. But the way the Maulana Muhammad, Allah inspired Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh with such a word that whoever you can think of, today how many Masturat Jamaat are carrying, Mahram Masturat Jamaat are working. How Allahu Akbar. One time a Jamaat in one of the North African countries, and those Jamaat, Mahram Masturat Jamaat, from Karachi, city of Karachi, like modern ladies, but going to which toilets? Not a little shepherd or something, going into the jungles for toilet. All these sacrifices, ma qadarullah haqqa qadar, they haven't recognized Allah is Allah is to be recognized. When these sacrifices have been done solely for the pleasure of Allah, doesn't it move the mercy of Allah Ta'ala? Undoubtedly it moves the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is being shown in the world, and people's lives are changing. We can't imagine that many, perhaps there are people who don't know the conditions of what our country was some years ago. And today, Allahu Akbar, what changes have come, what ulama have been produced, what great, great efforts are in South Africa, alhamdulillah, only by the fazl of Allah, and these great, great tears which our elders had shed, may Allah make us also among those people whose tears come out. Today, very sadly, our eyes have gone dry. Tears don't want to come out from our eyes. But this works here, not with bayans and lectures. It works with crying in front of Allah Ta'ala. It works with humility and humbleness. It does not work with ordering people around. It works when a person has got good akhlaq. And his akhlaq comes in. When he learns his akhlaq, and he remembers Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and then he has got feeling for everyone, this is when this iman comes to his, the shine on this iman comes. And when all this is done with ikhlas, solely for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, not for any name, or not for fame, or not for any show, or anything, but only for Allah ta'ala, then these qualities start shining in the person. And this is what Mawlana Ghiyas Rahmatullah Alayh prescribed for us and wants from us. So for that reason, whoever, let us make an effort. If we want deen to come alive, it's not a dream that we're just going to dream about it. It's not just talking that it is going to bring it alive. But whatever effort we can make, whatever little one drop fills the bucket, if everyone just wishes, may Allah send rains of mercy and kindness to the whole, to all of mankind. Know what typical condition. And in some places they only get water a few days in a week. There is no continuous water. All this is has to do directly, not with rains. All that has to do with our a'mal. And what our a'mal are, and what we are presenting, what goes up comes down. If we send good a'mal up, Allah will send good conditions down. All this what we are worried of, whatever, we know what we hear in news every day, this happened here, this happened there, this. How we have to correct our a'mal. And also, just one very important thing that we have to bring this realization. One is a very, very low form, a wrong form, that we complain about Allah Ta'ala who can do everything. And we complain about Allah who can do everything to other people who can do nothing. We tell people, I'm very poor, I'm very sick, I got this problem, I got that problem. Allah put their conditions on you. So now you are complaining of Allah. And to who you are complaining? Who can't do anything. They can't help you in any way whatsoever. And unfortunately, this is generally what our condition is. And then the middle condition is that a person complains about other people to Allah. This one is harming me in this way. This one did me down in this way. That one did this to me. That is the middle. And the highest level is when you complain about yourself to Allah. It's my gunas. Hazrat Ji Maulana Imam al-Hasan sahab, whenever anywhere something happened, Ya Allah, it's my fault. Because of me, this condition has come. When we don't play the blame game, and we take the blame on ourselves, we haven't been living from far as Muslims. We haven't got that akhlaq. We haven't got that the nature in us where we will bring that I am to blame. And I'm guilty. And now, not just to admit guilt, but to do something about it. To remove it completely. And for that we have to make some effort. So great, great sacrifices are required. And when we will do this, Allah Ta'ala will bring condition. So whoever of us wants to bring change, and wants a change and we want good conditions, we have to make sacrifice. So who is ready for India, Pakistan and Bangladesh for 4 months inshallah.